Let's go ahead and take our Bibles in hand, and as we do, I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity right now, because we're going to go to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, the back of your bulletin has the outline, and so if you do not happen to have a Bible, then please raise your hand. We'll make sure that the ushers bring one right down to you. We want everybody to enjoy seeing the Word of the Lord. I always enjoyed that when I started to witness other people having what I did not have, and they were enjoying the Bible. Never saw that before, but nothing like seeing the book and enjoying and seeing what God has for us together. So, Lord, thank you for opening our hearts. Today's message, as you know, Almighty God, is hometown missionary. This is to incorporate all of us, to remind us who and what we're all about, Lord, and you have to do that. You have to help us, and it comes so much easier when that happens. So in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I want to just say, too, real quick, I'm going to just give one quick joke because you're asking me what new jokes you have since you came back after being gone for so long. But, you know, we had an outstanding women's conference here yesterday. That church was going off. It was pretty exciting with regards to men's breakfast next door, women's conference room filled with women. Outstanding speakers. I really want to rebottle each of the speakers and somehow tuck their hair under their hat and have them speak to the men. Because we had Kathy Knight spoke on investments. She's a master professional at that. I was back there in the sound booth taking notes on my tablet, I'm telling you. And then we had Amy Ellsworth. Just every woman's desire wants to know about health and nutrition. It's like, wow. I always knew we were 70% water, huh? My knees feel like it when I go on missions trips. But the other thing is, then we had Emily Sanders spoke on, as from a perspective of a family therapist, and that was intriguing. So we have a rich cash crop of gifts of people. So when the Lord's speaking that use those gifts, we really benefit so much. And I'm so very proud of each of the ladies that were there, and each of our speakers, so thank you so very, very much for that. What is always exciting for us, and if that's okay, can I bypass the joke and just get right into the message? Good. Today's message is in reference to keeping our eye on really what the Lord has for us. And that is, as a hometown missionary, is the focus on really seeing people receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. That is the goal of our Savior. That is the desire of our Heavenly Father, to get as many into heaven as possible. It was the Apostle Paul's. We're going to see that in Romans 10. We're going to understand that. It's important. I like this book called the Book of Romans. You know, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the words of Jesus. That's the actions of Jesus. But when you come to Romans, it's such a powerful book on doctrine, how to implement the things that God has said. Chapters 1 through 8, solid doctrine, which means teaching. It's like, wow, is that how that works? Salvation by simply believing. Amazing. And then Romans comes in, chapter 9 through 11, with the place of Israel and God's scheme of things. 12 through 16 balances off with just the practical element of just, man, laying your life like a sacrifice before God. When we take a look at something like this today, it's amazing because Paul is writing this letter, because that's the book of Rome, to the Roman church. Now, Rome itself was founded in 753 BC, and it was the largest city in the world at that time. Paul the Apostle did not plant the church like we planted Hope Chapel San Salvador. What happened to evolve the Christians there in Rome was that there was a lot of migration. You had Christians that were coming in from Asia and Macedonia and Greece, and Christians congregated in that megapolis, and they would tell people about Jesus, and the church grew. So now Paul is writing a very intellectual letter, but it's so practical, freeing. And he's talking about here in chapter 10, about his heart's desire for his own family, his own countrymen. And it's important for us to take a look at this note today, because I equate it with sometimes we can overlook the exquisite thing of what God's called us to do, and that is tell somebody about Jesus and the way of salvation. It's very simple. It does not take much today. It does not take much. I kind of liken it to the time when I was first starting up there in Banning as a pastor, and I bought my first truck for $500. What kind of truck in Banning for $500? Well, man, a truck's a truck. It's kind of like a bicycle in Huntington Beach. The more rust, the more cool you look. Well, this was a Mazda B2000. I don't know if you ever, it's a little two-seater, and it rattled every bit of it, and a manual transmission. And it didn't have air conditioning. It didn't have a lot of things, but windows were rolled down. You kept cool there, and one day, as I'm driving, a bumblebee comes in, and now it's right there in my windshield. And it's like, what? And so you hear that thing, it's a distraction. It was like the mosquitoes that swelled around my head in El Salvador. And so I'm driving down the highway, and I'm trying to get this bee out of the cab. And when I thought I just about had it, I said, I better look to see where I'm going. And I'm about to hit the rear end of a parked car. And I turned, probably went on two wheels, missed that baby, but my heart was racing. Like, what did I almost let happen? Over a bumblebee. And I realize sometimes as a church, as great as this is, we can get distracted with bumblebees. And I equate that with all the tremendous things we do here. Man, we have outstanding worship, great programs, things that really help individuals to come along. Areas that are enriching, great Bible studies, discipleship off the charts, counseling wayward Christians, all those things are great. He's like, man, my church has that going on, that going on. But because, like the bumblebee, we stop having a heart for the lost, and we don't even care about those that may be perishing and not making heaven. That's today's message. That's what we want to take a look at. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Check it out what Paul's saying. Brethren, so he's talking to Christians. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be what? That's it. That's all he was desiring and all he was praying for. Verse 2, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Our first note there on your paper is that heart's desire for lost people. And the note here is relatives and friends to be saved. Boy, that's an important thing. We take a look at that. Some say, well, what does that mean to be saved? Is it going to be that bad when people lose out on making heaven? I don't really see where the Bible says God's going to torch somebody. And write this down or look with me right now, 2 Thessalonians, because you need to kind of spar your interest once again. If there's ever a time that I say, well, I'm not really interested in sharing the gospel with anybody, you start reading a book on hell and you say, I'm going to get back out there. It's interesting that we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, go to verse 8. Check it out, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, capital D, there's going to be a day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now, I read that. You might read that and say, I just don't believe that. Man, but God says something here. The beautiful thing about our life in general is that God is kind to the just and the unjust. He lets the sun come up on the saved and the unsaved. Scripture says, Matthew 5, man, it's a day of goodness, but there's going to come a day. And that's where Paul, who knows better, says, man, my heart's desire. I've got relatives I want saved. I've got countrymen I want saved. And my prayer is that they get saved. So So when we see here how important that is, matter of fact, if you go back to Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was so desirous that his relatives would be saved. In chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, he literally says, I would give up my own soul that they would be saved. That's a dude that is serious. Look at chapter 9. We're just there in Romans, verse 2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. And that dude must have been a very sad guy often. Continual sorrow and grief. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. He says, I would give up my place in heaven for them to be saved. Now that's one man's opinion. There's an important area that sometimes we need to take a look at that. It's difficult to share your faith with relatives. That's what he says. You read the book of Acts, you realize he wasn't received often. He would go into the synagogue, say, hey, let me prove to you by the Old Testament, he's the Messiah. And then they'd say, who are you? Now, Jesus said that in Mark 6, that you're not going to be too well received by your own family and friends. Been true with me. I mean, oftentimes go tell my relatives, oh, I remember you, little Paul, you're so cute. I changed your diapers. Who or do you think you are? Tell me about Jesus. Remember telling my auntie, I love my auntie, about Jesus. She's my godmother. She was there when I was 6 months old, Catholic christening right there. Says, Auntie, and she had all her little patron saints, do you have confidence you're going to go to heaven? Oh, no, I don't. Well, we can make sure right now. Share Jesus. Would you like to pray right now? Very simple. No, little Paul, you know, you've always been such a good boy. I never had a problem with you. She let me, I've never been shut down so lovingly. Never, she didn't want to pray. She goes, I've got all my saints. I think I'll be good. It's difficult to talk to your relatives, but they still need to be told. My dad, the same. Worked with my dad in the family print shop for 8 years. Most of the evenings after Bible college, I'd go to Perry Boys in Pasadena. We'd have dinner, go back to work. Thank you, Dad. But I'd share Jesus. Dad, thank you for raising us, going to Mass every day. I respect the things of God so much. Do you have confidence that you're going to make heaven? We can make sure right now, Dad. So I don't, but what do you have to tell me? And I tell him simply, just believe and receive Christ as your Savior. Are you ready, Dad, to just make sure? No, Paul, you know, I think I'm okay. Do you know I started praying like Paul, prayer, because that's our second point. When we take a look, prayer to God for lost people, relatives and friends to be saved. Lord, you know what it's going to take for my dad to get saved. And God did answer that because my dad was a pretty self-made man. Everybody liked my dad. But he had this religious element to him that did not really want to surrender to certain things. And so one day when he contracted liver cancer, I was thankful that my brother Bob led my dad 6 months before he passed away to the Lord. Glory to God. There's certain things like whatever it takes, get my relatives in there. Whatever it takes, get Huntington Beach in there. What will it take? Because we're having these bees distract us and there's people that are going past me. And I'm not too sure whether they've ever had an extension to receive Jesus or not. And God's not desirous for anybody to be lost. How many know that? Matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. You may want to check that out. 33:11, write it down. Word says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die? Man, the Lord's so good that way. So good. So we take a look here. If you look at Romans 10 again, it says in verse 2, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, it's interesting when you come across people that have a zeal, because Jews were very religious, very zealous. Matter of fact, when Jesus came on the scene, you have that statement in John 4, verse 40, where the religious leader says, hey, are we blind also, Jesus? And he said, the Lord, back to them, if you said that you were blind, you would now be able to see. But since you say you see, you're still in your blindness. You're still in your sins. That's why Jesus was never accepted as Messiah. But they still had a zeal. And it's interesting because we have to be careful. There's nothing that happens in your life by accident. You recognize that there are people looking at you all the time. They already know you go to church. They already know you're a Christian. They watched you pray over your meal in the restaurant. Now they're going to see if you tip. Now they're going to see if you actually are polite or if you cut in or how many highballs you order. It's important that we take a look at that and realize that. So lost people are there. The other thing is that not only lost people have a zeal, they're blind. If you were to look at 2 Corinthians, let's go to the right, just a little. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not only pray that they would be open to the gospel, but they're blind. There's a zeal, but they're blind. And we see here in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Go ahead and write that down. You'll take it into your life groups to share. Says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. People just don't see. That's why it's like, Lord, open their eyes. How come I see, they don't see? How come you see, and somebody in your own relatives don't see? How come you see, and your neighborhood looks like it's just complete disconnect and are out doing something else on a weekend? It's interesting because when we talk about zeal and we talk about blindness, man, those things really need to be broken in prayer. There'd be those that come along and say, well, in the philosophy of our society says, well, listen, it doesn't matter which direction you go. We're all going the same direction, right? Whether you're a Hindu or Buddhist, or whether you're a metaphysics, or whether you're Muslim. I don't know about zeal. If you've ever seen, have you seen a Hindu in their zeal pour gasoline on themselves and light them up? That's zeal. I know a Buddhist who drives to the temple in L.A. every single day. That's zeal. That is zeal. Will that save them? Man. How about those dudes that drove the planes on 9/11 into the Twin Towers? That's zeal. Give it all. Give it all. So when the Apostle Paul says, man, my heart's desire and prayer for my own relatives and my friends, that they may be saved. So we have to be careful and be very alert. And when people come along and you and I share, and all it takes today because of mass media, and everybody in El Salvador has a crucifix on the wall. All you have to do is just say, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? That's all it takes nowadays. Have you ever expressed a heart to receive Christ? And they'll either say, yes, I have, or no, I haven't. And then just, we can do that right now. It does not even take much. Everybody knows about Jesus. They've never been ushered in to receive him. So, I like being friendly. We have a great time helping people. It's fun to go out in certain countries and certain neighborhoods and do some great work. Social services, everybody can receive that until I bring up Jesus. Then all of a sudden, my rationale becomes irrational to somebody else. So don't let that distract you, Jesus. Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes in John 16, 8, 9, that he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. There's one sin that the Holy Spirit does. So people say, well, the Holy Spirit's supposed to convict us of every sin. No, just one sin, one sin. Everybody, that one sin is Have they received Christ or not? That's the game changer for eternity or complete lostness. That's where it takes. So, Jesus died for every sin on this planet, and anything you will do today or tomorrow, he's already prearranged the death on the cross to cover you. 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. That's a quote. 1 John 2:2. Everybody's sin. What's the game changer? You receive Jesus or not? So that means somebody's going to go to hell, not because they're an adulterer, not because they are a constant theft person, or that somehow they have murdered people. Nobody knows about it. They're going to go to hell because they haven't received Jesus. We need to just tell them it's Jesus. It's Jesus. So I just want to highlight number 3, missionary sent for lost people to be saved. So important when we go out there and find lost people. Just open our eyes, dear Lord. Let us see those individuals. Do you know some? Can you at least start praying for them, Lord? I'm not quite confident yet to talk about them, but I know there's no sign that they honor you. And then go about. Tell them. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. You've heard some testimonies today. I remember vividly seeing certain Christians saying they have something I don't have. And I'm now interested in what that is. Same goes for you. So just tell them it's Jesus. You want to have more? Then just bring them. Bring the lost people to Christian gatherings. Pretty simple. What a great day we have today. Just want to highlight that and encourage us once again. We need to just keep our eye on the direction we're going. Don't get too distracted. It's all about winning the loss. Why didn't Jesus come? Doesn't want anybody to perish. He's giving you and me an opportunity to tell somebody today could be the day you receive Christ. So this isn't so much, maybe it is for some of us, an invitation to receive Jesus, but it really is for us to mobilize ourselves once again. So I want to highlight, we're going to take just a little time. We want to welcome our prayer team up. We're going to just enjoy this song. I want to invite those who are going to enjoy having you come forward. I want to welcome those to come forward and receive prayer this morning. Say, well, what do I need prayer for? Well, wouldn't it be great that you just say, Lord, give me a desire to love you and to love the lost. Father, would you help me to remember to pray for the lost? God, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can break through the scary risk barriers. I want to invite you all to stand to your feet. Would you do that? All of us have somebody that we are not certain they'll make heaven. Hometown missionaries, that's what you all are. Isn't it great? Man, the reason why you're still here. If Jesus were to save you and just get you to heaven, if that was the journey, as soon as you said, Jesus, I accept you, come into my life, poof, smoke, you'd be in heaven. But you're here to still tell somebody. I'm going to invite you to come as we worship the Lord in this song. Ladies, would you come? Men, would you come? Men praying with men, women praying with women. And just say, man, maybe you're here and you need Christ in your life. I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. Start my journey. Or I want the Lord to use me full maximum. Come on down out of the center aisle and just flood into this direction. If you are our missionary go team, I'm going to invite you to get over by the cross as well. I'm sure we're going to need some help. Come on down now, friends. Let's worship the Lord and just let him pray for you briefly. Watch what the Spirit of God does.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise seeker, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise seeker, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here. You are here, touching every heart.
We still have room. Let's see if you can line up right in the center aisle. Let's let the Lord do a work. You know God wants more for you to do. You step on out and say, man, I'm ready to go. I have people that know and need Jesus. Lord, use me.
I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, mending every heart. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. Light in the darkness, oh my God, that is who you are. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, oh my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, oh my God. That is who you are, the way maker, Lord. And way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, oh my God. That is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 And that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh.
While we continue to pray, I want to pray for those who are watching via live stream and cannot be able to come and just receive that wonderful ministry of the laying on of hands. But maybe you're here as well, and you say, you know, I've never had somebody pray for me, and I'm not really quite into that. But one day, somebody's going to need you to pray for them. That's why we do this. So it's not for you, per se. It's really not about you. We understand the comfort zone, but, man, somebody out there is needing to be reached. Somebody out there is really nervous about wanting to surrender everything, but they know they need to. So let me just pray for you who are watching and maybe a few that are still here. Let's all at least cup our hands heavenward, shall we? And let's at least be praying for our city that's needing Jesus so badly. El Salvador really is needy physically. At least Huntington Beach isn't needy physically. Spiritually, both nations are really in need. So, Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness right now. And your goodness, it says, that we recognize the goodness of God that led us all to repentance. Lord, you have been so good this holiday season. We're going to rejoice in the abundance. But yet there's something in so many of us not quite settled, and we know we need to do more, we need to provide more, there's somebody out there that needs rescuing, and we are troubled because we know it could be us that needs to reach that person. Oh, Lord, turn our hearts to the right. Let us see right ways to help those individuals. Lord, help us be able to press past our own comfort zone, risk even embarrassment, and see the results of people being won to the kingdom of God. So those who came up here this morning, those who are a little uncertain, even in our seats this morning, but especially those who are watching via live stream, by your Holy Spirit now seal our hearts. Lord, by the blood of Jesus, enable us to say we really do belong to Christ. We have something to offer that is world-changing for any human being. Lord, open our hearts. Stir us to two qualities once again, compassion and generosity. Compassion and generosity, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we thank the Lord? And I want to just thank each of you. Glory to God. Wonderful being with you this morning. I'm glad to be home. You are dismissed. Let's go and enjoy this great Sunday we have here in Huntington Beach. Make sure you introduce yourselves a few on your way out. We'll see you soon.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.